We live in a world where many act in ways of scarcity rather than abundance, and have a difficult time living in ways of gratitude. On this Worldwide Communion Sunday, we revisit the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs of what he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
They're doing that, dancing, they were laughing. As the meal was about to be served, there was joy, there was grace, there was gratitude. Mary Jo Leddy, in her book, Radical Gratitude, she uses the analogy of the pie chart that we've all seen many times to speak about how our world views power. She observes how many in our world think in terms of having more at the cost of having others having less. One person's gain is another person's loss in this scenario. And the scene is always set for conflict over who gets more and who gets less of that always limited pie. In this dichotomy, as Letty says, dissatisfaction always reigns supreme with this way of thinking. We're taught to strive for more, and only the acquisition of the whole pie will ever one day suffice. Nothing else will satisfy. Yet what I somehow witnessed that day in the lunch gathering and experienced in a myriad of others, what I experienced there was a rare example of communal gratitude. It was a time of gratitude, of joy, of grace for the community gathering together. Now, for scholars these days to observe that we live in a time when we're always striving for more, living in a supersized, bigger is better culture is certainly to overstate the obvious. Newer, bigger, faster, shinier is always what we are taught to strive towards. And gratitude these days seems almost to be contingent upon us receiving what we want on a timeline that is pleasing. And then and only then, gratitude seems to be the appropriate response. One scholar, she even challenges these kind of daily gratitude practices we're encouraged to adopt as being merely just a checklist for middle and upper class privileges that we have succeeded in. Check in to see how we are doing, acquiring more of that limited pie that we all seek to acquire. We turn to this morning's text, much like in our own world. There is an interesting mentality that is based on the pie, based on the scarcity mentality that we also see in Jesus' disciples' thinking. There's a large crowd gathered around them, And Jesus is wondering about the best place to buy food, to buy bread for the masses who want to gather. Philip's response reflects this fear of scarcity. Even if we could find a bakery that would supply all that we need, it would take us at least 6 months' wages in order to afford it all. Now in their midst, there is a boy. A little boy who has a few loaves and a few fish. Once again, the pie seems to be inadequate, and they grumble. But what are these meager supplies going to be among this massive crowd of men, women, and children? Again, the pie is not big enough to go around, and ingratitude reigns supreme. One of the interesting things that I observe about this miracle story of Jesus is the liturgical setting. The text tells us that it occurs just prior to Passover, one of the major festivals for the Jewish people. And we remember that Passover was that time when the people remembered how God provided. They remembered how God provided liberation from Egyptian slavery, how God provided guidance through the wilderness, how God provided in times of struggle, in times of hunger, how God provided the promised land. Prolific writer, Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann, he explains how the key Jewish festivals of the Hebrew Bible, like Passover, were those times when people of faith offer gratitude. Gratitude for God's freedom and God's abundance. It was certainly an odd thing to be grateful for, because they didn't get what they really wanted, did they? I mean, did they want to have a midnight escape from Egypt? Did they want to be pursued by warring Egyptians? Did they want to wander the wilderness for 40 years? Did they want to scrounge for food and for water? Yet their spirit was one of gratitude. Gratitude for God, whose way is liberation, is provision, is grace. The festivals were designed to be outpourings of gratitude as they lived completely by the power and the generosity of God. The story occurs in a time when that festive community prepares to gather for one of their great communal celebrations of gratitude, modeling what it means to be an alternative community, a community based in abundance, based in joy, based in gratitude. This Passover gathering was meant to be almost a microcosm of how life should be fully lived in gratitude. One of the strange things, of course, with gratitude is that today it increasingly comes with a preposition in its usage today. We are grateful for something. We are grateful to someone. We are grateful with others. What this text, I think, is encouraging us to consider is the kind of gratitude that simply is, to be grateful. Gratitude should be more than just about each one of us. Gratitude should be more than just about me. When it comes to deep, faithfully lived gratitude, it should always lead from an individual focus on me towards the communal we. Robert Emmons, in his recent book that I enjoyed reading through, thanks how the new science of gratitude can make you happier. He notes how gratitude has the potential to take us outside of ourselves and see ourselves as part of the larger, intricate network of sustaining web of relationships that all connect with one another. Gratitude, seen in this light, allows us to view ourselves as part of the intricate web of creation, connected to one another, connected to God, connected to all parts of this great unity of creation. It allows us to see ourselves as brothers and sisters, strangers and neighbors, as kin, as we pray, "Thy kingdom come," Jesus' great prayer for peace. Gratitude has the potential to move us beyond any island of isolation and into a way of rich connection and deep, sustaining community. In short, gratitude moves us beyond ourselves and we begin to realize that this pie we are seeking, this pie is not meant for me alone. It's meant for sharing in the abundance that God offers to us, one and all. To live this radical way of gratitude will, of course, be a tremendous challenge based on our current culture's values and ways. It's interesting, linguists tell us that the use of the words thanksgiving or gratitude, they came to a peak in our language in 1820 and have been on a rapid decline ever since. The historical low usage of those words was as Y2K flipped us over into the 21st century. Interestingly, one scholar places that trend alongside the decline that we have in social isolation. Did you know that we live in an era where 60% of us in North America and in Europe live alone? This number has tripled over the last century, people living solitary on their own. One must wonder if this trend towards social isolation is a factor that causes these kinds of erosion in communal values and a sense of public gratitude being shared. I think that's why this text is so very important. It offers us a remedy to the modern day challenge in helping us to be not just grateful for things, but rather people of living communal gratitude. To be people of faith, knowing that when we unite together, God will provide enough. We don't need to worry how it will happen, we just need to have faith and know that God will make it happen when we are together. The disciples grumbled. That would be at least 6 months' wages to feed the crowds. They further grumbled, those few loaves and fish, how can they possibly feed all the crowds? Jesus' call in this text is to live this way of gratitude, to live in the spirit of Passover that gratefully celebrates God's way of liberation, God's way of provision, to live God's ways of grace. That's why I think we value these ways in the church, these communal opportunities. They'll always be so very important because they serve to reconnect us to one another, reminding us that there is something more powerful than just me. Gatherings like this morning move us from a me to a we mentality, and they call us to live in gratitude as we become so deeply aware of God's grace that is at the very heart of our being. We all need to be in community. We need to share in one another's lives. We need to hug our brothers and sisters, hold them, share life together. We need to be the living body of Christ. I think that's why this Sunday, more than any other Sunday, is so absolutely critical. When we think about the meaning of Worldwide Communion Sunday, when we think about this great globe and how we are so deeply connected with our different languages and our different ways of life, it's so important today because we come together at this one massive table. We're offered a remedy against the world's teachings of individual strivings and invited to come together in communal gratitude. When we gather at the one table, we're reminded how very large that table is. We gather and we unite at a place where all are fed, where all are welcomed, where all are richly blessed. Come with a deep feeling of gratitude. Now, we don't use this term very often in the Protestant church, but one term for communion is Eucharist, which means great thanksgiving. For if anything the church is called to be, it's called to be a place of great thanksgiving. It's certainly one of our core identities, a Eucharistic community, a community of great thanksgiving, where gratitude is at the very heart of our identity, of all of our responses, of everything we do, of how we live our faith, arising from this powerful identity, being God's grateful people. And so may we gather at Christ's table, dancing in gratitude for this God who lives, who loves, and liberates us one and all. Thanks be to God. Amen.